Okay, so I was given 15 minutes, 20 minutes?
Yep.
Okay, so I wanted to discuss something. I know I'm preaching to the choir. You guys are on the front lines in terms of Avodas HaKodesh, in terms of inspiration. But it's always good to get a little bit of chizuk in some particular areas, one of which I want to speak about today. The Gemara Nedarim very famously tells us the following. They wanted to know what was the cause, what was the impetus, what was the catalyst for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So So they asked the Chachamim of the time, they asked the prophets of the time, no one knew the answer. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself gave the answer. You left my Torah. You didn't follow my Torah. Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, what did it mean? What did it mean, Al Azum Torah? What did it mean, leave the Torah? So Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, he says, Shein Mevarachin Batorah Tchila. They did not recite Birchos HaTorah. Very, very famous Gemara that this Rav Yehuda, the name of Rav, says that the reason why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed is because we didn't recite Birchos HaTorah. Now I know, and you know, that there are two possible brachos of all the brachos we're familiar with that might be De'oraisa. One is everybody agrees to, which is Birchas HaMazon. And another one, which is Birchas HaTorah. It's a machlokes, whether Birchas HaTorah is a De'oraisa bracha or not. All the other brachos that we have are D'rabbanan. But even if I were to say that Birchas HaTorah, Shabbach HaRabbanim Yikol HaAmim V'Nasan Lanu Torah So, is a bracha that is biblical, hard for me to understand that the Gemara could possibly suggest that that and that alone could be the source for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So we need to try to understand why simply not reciting Birchas HaTorah is enough of a reason for the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed. And if that's not really what the Gemara means, what is the Gemara trying to convey to us? What's it trying to communicate to us that maybe we can bring home to ourselves and our respective communities? So there are a number of different reasons that the Gemara suggests, the Mefarshim suggests. I'm going to share with you three, and hopefully the third one, I think, will speak volumes to all the work that you're trying to do, and maybe even be able to get a little bit of an injection of an additional inspiration that can trickle down to the people that you work with. The Ran, Rabbeinu Nisim, so he comments that the reason why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed for not reciting Birchas HaTorah is that the reason why they did not recite Birchas HaTorah is because they didn't feel that learning Torah was important enough. Is what he would call it wasn't chashuva be'ineihem, right? It was no different learning biology, we don't make a bracha, and on world history, we don't make a bracha. So okay, we're studying Torah for an intellectual pursuit. It's stimulating our minds. It's helping us become more well-rounded individuals. We can talk intelligently about more topics. But there's nothing unique to Limud HaTorah in and of itself, and so therefore there's no reason to make a bracha. And so therefore the Ran says it wasn't Stam that simply not reciting Birchas HaTorah was the cause, the catalyst for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but it was why they didn't make Birchas HaTorah. They didn't make Birchas HaTorah because Limud HaTorah and learning simply wasn't important enough. It was no higher than any other discipline. It was no higher than any other subject. That's the Ran. The Beis HaLevi very famously comments in Parshas Mishpatim. We're not there yet. We started with Sefer Shmos this week. But in Sefer Parshas Mishpatim, so we all know that the Jewish people are credited with the famous two words after receiving the Torah of Nasa V'Nishma. And the Medrash and everybody tells us that each of the Jewish people at that time got two ksarim, two crowns, one for Nasa and one for Nishma. And everybody asks, what was such a big deal, Nasa V'Nishma? So everybody likes to say, oh, they were willing to do even before they understood. The Beis HaLevi gives an entirely different approach, which once we understand what is happening in Parshas Mishpatim, we can understand how to understand that Gemara a little bit better. And he explains that the Jewish people, when they said the word Nasa V'Nishma, were not saying something that was so simplistic. What they were saying was the following. We're going to learn Torah in order to understand how to do the mitzvos. That's the Na'aseh. But even after we learn Torah, and even after we understand what we need to do, Nishma, we're going to continue learning Torah because we see that there's an inherent value. There's an intrinsic value of the study of Torah, not dependent on any type of performance or observance, simply because there's a value of learning. And so Na'aseh was their commitment to learn in order to do. Nishma was their commitment to learn even after they know what to do. And with that, says the Beis HaLevi, now we can understand this Gemara. You see, the problem was, we know that in Halacha there is a rule that we only recite brachos when it comes to a birchos ha-mitzvah, when it comes to a performance of a mitzvah, we only recite the bracha on what we call the gemar mitzvasa, right? We don't make a bracha on building of a sukkah, we make a bracha on sitting in a sukkah. We don't make a bracha on putting together a pair of tefillin, we make the bracha of putting on tefillin. We only make brachos on what's called the completion, the conclusion, what that which is going to culminate in the asiyas ha-mitzvah. Says the Beis Halevi, you know what was wrong with this generation? You know what was wrong with the door that ultimately was the source of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? They did not view Limud HaTorah as having intrinsic value. They viewed Limud HaTorah as a means. It was a means. Once I know how to do it, I don't need to learn it anymore. And so therefore, we don't make brachos on means. We only make brachos on ends. The same way I don't make a brach on building a sukkah, I don't need to make a brach on learning Torah. Because the goal of learning Torah is to know what to do. There's no inherent value. There's no intrinsic value. Says the Gemara, if that's true, now we, says the Beis HaLevi, now we can understand this Gemara. It wasn't standard. They didn't make brachas of Torah. They didn't make a brach. Boo-hoo. It was that they didn't misunderstand one of the primary avenues, one of the primary modalities, one of the primary ways that we are able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through the study of Torah. They completely missed the point. They thought Limud HaTorah was simply a means, that there's no intrinsic inherent value, that there was no point other than simply knowing what to do, and therefore there was no need to make a bracha. And with that misunderstanding, with that missing of the point, so to speak, of this generation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what am I keeping the Beis HaMikdash around for? If one of the primary ways to connect to me is through Limud HaTorah, so then what's the point, right? People always say, Tefillah is us talking to Hashem, and the Torah is Hashem talking to us. Well, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't communicate with us, so what's the point of the relationship? You can't have, I tell my students all the time, you know, I say, if you're a husband and a wife, it's only one-sided, that marriage isn't going to last very long. Right? A relationship is all about me reaching out to you and you reaching out to me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, forget it. You left my Torah. You don't want to hear what I have to say just because I'm saying it, not because you're learning what to do. So there's no point of us continuing to have a relationship in a house that I built. And so therefore he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So there's the Ran who says it's not any more important than any other subject, and therefore you wouldn't make a bracha on anything else. Why would you make a bracha on this? You have the Beis HaLevi, who says that the real understanding is the fact that since there was no inherent value, they didn't put a price tag on Limud HaTorah in and of itself, and so therefore there was no need to recite Berachas HaTorah. But I'd like to share with you today something that I'm confident no one in this room has ever heard before. I only know that because I've said it about 20 times, and every time I say it to somebody, no one's ever heard it before. And I heard this from a friend of mine, Gidon Shoshan, when I was learning in Kolo many, many years ago. In the name of Rav Ugent, Rav Meir Ugent, anybody from Chicago? Okay, so, sort of, I had a crown.
No,
okay, so Rav Meir Ugent was a Rebbe and I had a crown. Just historically, he was an unbelievable, I never met him. He was a European Rav. Think about that. I'm trying to imagine like having a European Rav from the Alter Heim teaching in like a regular modern Orthodox co-ed high school. Like it's a hard thing to imagine, right? Just in terms of like relatability, he's a Musbach of Europe, right? But actually, for you to appreciate how close he was with his Talmidim and his Talmidos, so he was actually unfortunately, one of the subjects, I believe, of Dr. Mengele. And there was a lot of experiments done, and he never had children. They say that because he never had his own biological children, his students literally became his children. I share this with you because when I share with you his insight, it's going to have chills run down your spine. You're going to appreciate knowing who he was, how he was able to develop this insight. And Rav Ugent explains Zatzal, he passed away a number of years ago. Rav Ugent Zatzal explains what this Gemara is really talking about. Listen to this. So Rav Ugent says, Ein mevarchen b'Torah tchila is not talking about Berachas HaTorah. It's not what it's talking about. Everybody assumes it doesn't say Berachas HaTorah. It says, She'ein mevarchen b'Torah tchila. Says Rav Ugent Zatzal, that's not what the Gemara was talking about. You want to know what the Gemara is talking about? Listen to this. He says, in Talpid Rash, but it's such a changed my life in terms of my own davening, for those of us who have kids already. Probably going to change yours for the rest of your life, I hope, because it was such a profound insight in terms of understanding how to approach life. And he says as follows. He said, you know what Ein Mevarchen b'Torah Tchila means? It means that during that last generation, when the Beis HaMikdash was about to be destroyed, that generation, so on Friday night, all the children lined up in front of their fathers to get their bracha. And when their father was ready to bench their child, right, as we all do, we have these hopes and aspirations that we have for our kids. We want them to be X, Y, and Z. We can't make them, but we're davening that that will all come to fruition. So in his mind, the father during that generation, Ein Mevarchen b'Torah Tchila. When they benched their kids Friday night, he said to himself, I want my kid to be a good athlete, and I want my kid to have a good social environment, and I want my kid to be successful, and I want my kid to be an academic. Oh, and by the way, if he also happens to be a Ben Torah, great. Ein Mevarchen b'Torah Tchila. They were not Mevarich their children with Torah as their number one priority. Their whole priority system was completely skewed. That when they were thinking about the hopes and the aspirations and the dreams they had for their children, Torah wasn't number one. Ein mevarchin, listen to the words now. Ein mevarchin, they didn't bless their children with Torah, tchila, as their number one priority. Changed my life. My Shema Kolenu, First thing I daven for, my kid should grow up to be b'nei b'nos Torah. I'll worry about parnasa, I'll worry about my job, I'll worry about everything else, but I'm working as hard as I can, Hashem, to ensure that my kids grow up to be b'nei b'nos Torah. In mevarchin b'Torah tchila. That generation completely missed the boat. They were being mechanich, their children, completely with the wrong priorities. Everything was upside down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if Torah is not going to be Liman HaTorah, observance of Torah, mitzvos, connecting to Hashem, connecting to your brethren, if you're missing those values, what's the point of having a Beis HaMikdash? The Beis HaMikdash is just a physical edifice to allow you to connect further to me. But if you're not even there yet, what's the point? You're skipping the whole foundation and you're going straight to the top. That can't work. I thought this was an incredible message for all of you. You're in the front lines. You're dealing with it in the trenches. We got to sell Torah. That's what we're selling. I'm selling it in a different way than you are, but we're selling it. And I can tell you, in my humble opinion, that as long as the priority is Torah, as long as the priority is selling the incredible opportunities, the privileges, not just the responsibilities and the burden, the privilege that we have to be able to sell Torah, to be able to indoctrinate, inculcate into all of our kids, into all of our students, informally and formally, to be able for them to appreciate that it's not something that they have to do, it's something they want and should be able to do. It's a privilege to have a relationship, a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is something that is an incredible message. I think oftentimes we go through the trenches, we go through the rigmarole of life, and we lose sight of, we have to make budget, and we have to make sure a certain amount of kids come, but at the end of the day, at the core value of everything we're doing, is we're selling Torah to the next generation. If we don't have passion, if we don't inject them with inspiration, if we don't allow them to see the genuinity, the sincerity, the authenticity of Torah, we're going to lose them. But at the end of the day, if we're not mevarech b'Torah tchila, if we don't make sure that the Torah is the epicenter of every decision we make in every program, in every way in which we connect to our students, formally and informally, we're going to lose them. They need the passion, they need the life, they need the chiyus, and we ultimately need to ensure that we're mevarech b'Torah tchila. And Amir Tzashem, you'll continue doing all the incredible work that you are doing and will continue to do to be Mavarach Torah Tchila, to put Torah at the epicenter, at the focus of every decision, every conversation, in different ways, in different forms, with different angles and different vantage points, but at the end of the day, allowing the Torah to serve as that compass, that Amir Tzashem, we will be Mavarach Torah Tchila. They will see it because it's real. It's emes. It's one of the few things in this world that's still emistic. We have so few things to hold on to. It's one of the few things that we have left. And Amir Tzashem, you're going to continue to be successful in all the work that you do. Thank you very much for listening.